Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Folks, if you'd like a copy of my best-selling first book, Tales of a First Round Nothing, head on over to ecwpress.com. If you'd like a copy of my second book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to www.flankerpress.com. If you'd like either copy personalized, just add a note. Thanks for listening to my podcast, and happy reading.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and gals. Welcome to episode 195A of Tales with TR. I'm your host, Terry Ryan Jr. Good to be with you guys again. Toss on my glasses here. I've been on the computer all day. As many of you listeners knew, a bit of a headache when that happens. I don't know if that's a result of concussions or what. I always got migraines when I was a kid. But people ask me about injuries in hockey, and I did miss almost a year. It derailed my career, really, with a bad concussion. Post-concussion syndrome, really. There's knockouts, and there's post-concussion syndrome, right? And I had post-concussion. Post-Conky syndrome in 96, 97. Came back a few times, but for that year, I had it like 8 months straight. It was brutal. More than that, actually, almost a year straight with symptoms. Anyway, the lasting effect, knock on wood, thank God, I've got my memory and, well, you know, to some degree, I'm a fairly healthy individual, and I can't say the same for other people in my sport and other sports who have had major head problems. So, due to hits or whatever. So, now that being said, I knew it was a physical sport and I knew this was possible, but really the only lasting effects are light at my eyes sometimes and like LED lights. And like if I'm in Walmart is that LED lights you know, if I don't have glasses on a sunny day, or if I'm on the computer or the phone a lot, like as in looking at the phone. So I get a bit of that. But anyway, so I wear my shades here and there, and we're all good. I was going to talk. No, there's a significant bunch of you that don't give a shit about the Beatles, so that's fine. And I was going to go there, but I might as well talk about a few things while I can. And I got Jeremy Roenick coming on tomorrow, actually. I'm really looking forward to that. It's this button. Yeah. Testing, 1, 2. Is there a difference there? Anyway. So, where was I? Okay. A lot of people, so I'm going to get to the Beatles stuff maybe next week, maybe the week after. I mean, I've already got written up. I got notes there. I love the magazine I was referencing, the Beatles, all their albums kind of dissected, Rolling Stone magazine, special edition. But anyway, I'm rambling. A lot of people are asking me some other questions. Like I said, I got Roenick coming on. And when I announced that, when I've been talking about that, a lot of people, I can't believe this, but I mentioned that I thought he should be in the Hall of Fame, and a lot of people disagreed. I was pretty surprised at that. And then when I got back to them individually on Twitter or whatever it was, and actually I was at an outdoor event in Fort St. John a couple of weeks ago. And when I brought up his accomplishments, just off the top of my head, without even being a researcher or a podcaster, a lot of people didn't realize. They're like, oh, I didn't realize he had 500 goals. And it's funny because he's been retired for a while now, I guess 15 years or so. And I'm just surprised how quickly that major players like that, and he was like a great on-ice player, like I said, I think worthy of the Hall of Fame. I know worthy of the Hall of Fame. And off the ice, like just a character, great interview because he always said something. He kept you on your toes. It was said something honest. It might not always have been a sound bite, but you knew you were going to get an honest answer out of JR. A lot of people didn't realize that. They thought, you know, he was a pretty good NHLer and flaps his mouth a lot. Like I heard good, bad, ugly. And I'm like, no, man, JR, first of all, I met him. He's a wicked dude. And second of all, we're talking, he was only the third Blackhawk to score 50 goals. He did it twice. The third, right? Eighth overall, first round pick, 100 points, three or four times. You know, one of the years he had 107 points. And this wasn't one of the years he scored 50. Like he had 46 in the early 90s. 107 points, 125 penalty minutes, you know. And I know he didn't, a lot of them weren't fights, but a lot were hits. Some were fights, but I mean, he was more of a hitter, an agitator. And an agitator without really having to be. I don't know if, you know what I mean? It was just his nature. He wasn't like Matthew Barnaby or I mean, no, it's also Barnaby's nature. I shouldn't, yeah. But some guys, I don't know, Matthew Rempe, who just came in. I mean, he's big. It's a different comparison. But when people say someone like that, or I don't know, Matt Cook back in the day, Rafi Torres, you know, like that was part of their gig. And I believe, I don't want to take anything away, they were NHLers either way because they were great skaters, two-way players. But, you know, it was part of their shtick getting into the league, you know, get under people's skin. There's always players like that. They're not always tough guys. Often they're not, right? They'll suck you in. Darcy Tucker was like that in junior. Did he ever suck me in a few times? But Darcy grew into himself as a player and as a tough guy, and fuck, man, really threw down. But, you know, coming into the league, yeah, Tux needed that, right? That shit disturber element. But some guys are and don't really, like Brad Marchand doesn't really need to do it. Jeremy Roenick didn't need to do it at all. He went eighth overall in the first round, not because he could shit disturb. I mean, I believe he got drafted out of fucking prep school, right? And which is extremely rare, and no one would have known he was a shit disturber in prep school, and he probably wasn't. I'm sure he spoke his mind, but he was getting 3-4 points a fucking game. But I mean, this guy, you know, and scored some huge goals. And what I remember about JR is how many times he took like a puck or a fucking stick in the face, losing teeth, hundreds of stitches in his face. And it's a good looking guy too. But, you know, for those of you like Shorzy, like he's Blueberry Bulldog worthy. And then some. You know, 513 fucking goals, 1,400 odd points, almost 1,500 penalty minutes. Right? Like, fuck, man. For a guy that's that talented, and it's just, and I'm not None of this is negative. I love it. I think it shows an unbelievable passion for the game. He had his money made, too. The last couple of years, I remember going to see him. He played with my buddy Ryan Clough, and I was living in Red Deer for a couple of years in the late 2000s. And JR was playing in San Jose, man. I went down. He didn't even know who he was talking to. I remember I went down to see Chloe, and there was a bunch of Chloe's buddy. And he sat down and like told me, and I didn't, not that he would have known who I was at the time. Now, I mean, because I've been on his pod and, you know, Shorzy and the Growler stuff and my book. I gave him my book long ago. You know, so now, of course, and we're friends and everything now. But like, you know, when I went to see him in the late 2000s, he just sat down and we spoke for like 45 minutes, man. And he didn't know I had played in the NHL, or he just knew I was Chloe's buddy. And he was just out of his, went out of his way to be a good guy. And so, look, from my perspective, people, I really looked up to him as a player. And like, when I say I loved Rick Tocchet and Chris Nyland, and that's true. But like, JR was almost out of my league. It's funny that we both went eighth overall. But like, when I looked at him, I saw like legendary, like godlike status. If this was 2,000 years ago, I looked at him like the Greeks would look at Alexander the Great. You know, like, hey, man, I want to be a big soldier. I'd love to be on the consul or whatever it is, part of the government, maybe, but I can't be Alexander. He's just too great. He's too far. He's, you know, well, they considered Alexander to be half God back then. I shouldn't say back then. I'm sure a lot of people do now. But that aside, JR, like, you know, like I looked at, there was his, he was on a pedestal from my angle so high that it was almost unattainable. And I don't want to say that like I have no confidence in myself as a player, but you know, when I saw Chris Nyland, even there, I mean, he's a fucking NHL player that played over, you know, I don't want to sell Chris Nyland short here or make you think that in my mind, I'm this fucking egotistical guy that who are you comparing yourself to? Okay. But I did go in the first round at one point. So I'm saying when I was back then looking up to these players, if I'm in the NHL, who can I be like, right? And I'm not putting down Rick Tocchet. He was a great fucking player, played like impactful for different reasons. And he could score, not like JR, but he could score Tocchet. And Tocchet was always Team Canada. So like, I loved Tocchet. I loved Nyland. I can go down the list. I loved Cam Neely. There's guys out there that I never even mentioned. Tim Kerr, Bobby Smith, who didn't fight but went in front of the net. Like, I like to take my game from all these guys. But Jeremy Roenick, to me, was like fucking lights out. Right? And every time I saw him interviewed back before these fucking TikTok and social media and YouTube and, you know, 7 or 8 second sound bites that go viral, before any of that, like, you'd tune in to the post game to see what JR had to say. I'm sure he got hounded for interviews after every single game of his life because he was the best interview. Anyway, so it's a real honor for me to have him on my podcast today. Well, tomorrow, whatever. So I figured I should sort that out, right? And to be honest, I don't have the time today to go because the Beatles episode, I got to really kind of dissect. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today, some other things. JR being the first one. There's so much to unpack when it comes to that guy's career that we're probably going to do it. I already talked to him. I said, you know, maybe volume 1, 2, and 3 or something. I hate to ask for your time at all, JR, because you're busy. But I said, like, you know, if I really want to ask you all the questions that I can, as a fan, as a player, as a friend, just as a curious human, we're going to be here for 6 hours, right? And I got to remind myself to shut the fuck up because I talk too much during these guys' interviews a lot. So a lot of people are asking me about Matt Rempe. It's almost like, and for those that don't know, he's the 6'8" behemoth of a human that has played less than 10 games in the NHL, but really made an impact. Now, the first thing I'll say is that for those of you who say that fighting's gone, do you remember anybody having this kind of impact in their first 10 games? I don't. And I'm including scorers. I might even, other than all the hype coming in, Bedard, probably next to that. I don't know. I mean, I'm in the in hockey history, of course. You know, you go back to McDavid and Crosby and even Patrick Kane or whoever coming into the league, even JR. I mean, I'm not talking that. I'm just talking in recent history, not in the last few years, right? Other than Bedard, and everybody was waiting for that anyway. If you want to call that impact, maybe. If we didn't know who Connor Bedard was, though, before this year, even though he's having a great year by, you know, 18-year-old players that just came out of junior standards, of course. You know, he's done really well. He's been, but Matt Rempe has been the talk of the hockey planet. You could go to a Pittsburgh-Columbus game two nights ago and half the building's talking about Matt Rempe. And I guess probably they would be about Connor Bedard too. But you know what I'm saying? Like, even scorers that come in barely get this much recognition. So, and I'm looking at in Madison Square Garden, they're chanting out his name. I've talked to people the other night that I was just on Jason Greger's show and talked to Ken Reed. He said he was in the building and the vibe in Toronto was, it was palpable, the amount of nervous, positive kind of hockey energy tension in the air, right? And that was because Rempe and Reeves were going to fight, and they did. I can even, you know, even that takes a lot to break down. Because, yeah, they're two tough guys, but I thought it was going to happen early. Like, it doesn't usually happen that the main event happens in the third period. Because there were times before that that they could have gone. Rempe said no. Then they weren't paired up together. Kennedy or Sheldon Keefe was very reluctant to put Reeves out against him. Then they were a couple of times. And I was thinking to myself, you know, Reeves should probably drop him sooner than later because Rempe might hit. And sure enough, right, he's 6'8", and he's going around, and I thought it was a little bit of a charge, maybe exaggerated when he hit Labushkin, I mean. Maybe exaggerated because he's so tall, right? Everybody's going, what a crazy, it's the worst charge I've ever seen. Well, just count his steps, though. It wasn't the worst I've ever seen. I think the worst I've ever seen might have been, oh, God, what was his name? Kid who played in Peterborough, I believe. World Junior. Oh, God, just escapes me. Steve Downey. Check that out. When he hit, I think it was Dean McCammond on Ottawa. That's one that sticks out in my mind. Anyway, there's been dirty plays. There's been, you know, you can break down suspensions, hits, elbows, whatever you want. I don't know where that Rempe play falls for me. I don't think the people at the NHL player safety have an easy job because all they get is complaints. But even being 6'8", it did seem like a bit of a charge to me. It wasn't, what's the word, egregious, I didn't think. I think he's playing the game and he's a young kid. He wants to get noticed. He wants to go out there and try his hardest every shift. I totally see it. I'm glad he stuck up. He didn't have to do it. Reeves, you also, because he's 6'8", you forget he's young, right? And Ryan Reeves, he's still, you know, Reeves, say what you want, Leaf fan or not, most people I think today think he's got the heavyweight belt, right? I don't know if that's justified or not. I mean, for me it is, but I see all these other fellas like, you know, that Delorier, the Oliver kid, Olivier, is it, that Rempe himself, you know, Lucic, there's guys out there and they drop their gloves and they can do damage. Right. And you saw early in that fight, Reeves nearly went down, but he didn't. He stood in there. So I think I could be wrong that the consensus would be, if you had to pick a toughest, maybe it would be Reeves. Now, we're splitting hairs anyway. Point is that Matt Rempe knew that and fought Reeves at home, right? You hit someone, you got to, like that, you got to pay the piper. And he did. And I really respect that. So there's that. But people are like generally ask me, like, what do you think of Rempe? What do I think of it? I don't know. He's like anybody. He's like me or I don't know. I mentioned some of the guys I mentioned, Darcy Tucker, I don't know, Rick Tocchet or Jeremy Roenick or any of these guys coming in with a bit of spunk. They're gonna show it. Now, I don't know if they're going to get in a fight every single game like Rempe seemed to be doing. But like I know there was a big headline, 3 fights in 6 games. Yeah. Okay. That's what he does. Right? He also got a goal and an assist, so he must be getting some decent ice time. He's got at least 3 fucking top-notch hits that I've seen. Possible suspension excluded there. with the Labushkin. But I mean, you know, he's an effective player. It's also physics, right? There's only so much space with hard boards and glass going around it. And if someone is 6'8", that's skating hard in a game that you can hit. And if they're not, if it's not even hitting, even if there was no hitting, throw the puck in the corner. Who thinks he's going to get it? The guy who's 6'8", right? What if he goes in the corner with, I don't know, Connor fucking Garland on Vancouver, who's 5'4" or 5'5"? I don't think I'm even exaggerating. He's short. And there's lots of players that are under 6 foot. This guy's nearly 7 feet. He's nearly a foot taller than I am. So you could have the best corner guys, the best fucking agility, skill, you know, go into the corner. Not everybody that's fucking perimeter doesn't go in the, you know, I think of Willie Nylander. I usually think, you know, he's big, but he doesn't get those Tavares-like goals. Well, I'm not taking away. I'm just saying Willie can play on the perimeter and still be really dangerous, like on the power play. So it's a lot of those guys can. But Willie's good in the corner, right? There are people that haven't been. There are players that are soft in the corner and they excel in front. Well, I shouldn't say right in front of the net, but, you know, bumper spot, outskirt, one-timers on the PP, you know, wait for a two-on-one or an odd man rush or whatever. They exist, right? But, like, Nylander likes to go in the corner. But Nylander is a big guy. I'm going to say 6'2", maybe 6'3". But Rempe goes in, obviously not as skilled, but it's physics, right? It's physics. So he's often going to come out of the fucking corner with the puck ahead of guys that are far more talented. So that's a major bonus. And if you know anything about hockey, you know that when you're on the offensive side of things, it's big to cycle the puck in the corner. Who better to cycle it in the corner, do some corner work, than a guy who's 6'8" that can handle the puck a little bit? Now you look at defense. I don't care where he's playing. He's probably going to play wing. He's not going to, I don't mean defense like the position defense. I mean, when he's playing defensively, right? I don't think he's going to play much center. But, you know, wherever he's playing, let's just say he's playing right wing and he's on his defense. It's going to be a lot harder for that D-man to get open when you got a guy who's 6'8" playing that position, right? Just stick, right? Even if he's just taking a lane with his stick, again, his stick is a foot taller than everybody else's, than a lot of other players at least. So, you know, am I surprised that he's in the league? No. If he didn't drop his gloves at all, I wouldn't be surprised he was in the league. Now, I have to agree with what Ryan Whitney said yesterday. I hate to take, you know, I hate to repeat exactly what he said, but I'm going to pretty much paraphrase exactly what he said. And I'm looking at it the last 2 weeks and I'm getting, you know, I'm running into people and we're talking about it and I'm getting messages and family, friends, fans, listeners, whatever. A lot of people are going, well, you know, he shouldn't be doing that and he shouldn't be fighting and, you know, he's going to get hurt and he's going to look. It's his fucking life, right? I don't know. I came in, I was 18. I fought Ty Domi. And I know I tell the story. It was to impress a girl and I was a promise for my high school buddies and everything. But there was also an element of me going, if I fight Domi and I don't get killed, literally, or I don't get knocked out, it's kind of a win for me. It's at least a positive note for me. At least leaves the Canadians with a taste that I'm not scared. And I'm willing to do what it now. I can grow into myself as a player, but at least you guys know now I'm willing to do whatever. Thank you for drafting me. I'll do whatever it takes. And I see that attitude in him. And I don't know if I don't even know. I got in my 8 games, I must have 5 fights. I must. 5 times. Yeah, I got 30 something. Anyway, in an exhibition, I probably had a fight every game. I'm not saying I'm the best comparison for Matt Rempe, but I'm just saying all I can give you is my point of view for real, the actual, what I know. Everything else I'm speculating from other people's opinions. You can probably guess, an educated guess with most people, but I know how I feel about it, and I would do exactly what he did. And I, again, being 18 or 19. I know lots of people that come into the league like that. He's 22. Right? So for everybody that, you know, he's going to get hurt. Well, first of all, he's been doing this for a while. You're seeing him now in the NHL, but the AHL is not a slouch league. Right? A lot of the quote unquote tough guys come from the, well, they all do at some point, come from junior or fucking college or the AHL. I mean, you got to have some kind of training ground. And Rempe's got lots of fights. Go to fucking HockeyDB or hockeyfights.com. So he's clearly been doing it. Now, of course, he's going to learn, but anybody learns. Ask Darren Langdon. He learned and became a wicked technical fighter. But that spunk that he's got, that's because he's a young kid trying to make the NHL, and he's in the NHL. So who the fuck is Joe Blow from Sarnia Street to say he shouldn't? Why? He can do what he wants, like he's an adult. And even if he gets knocked the fuck out tomorrow night and has to miss a month, it's still his decision. Why shouldn't he? Okay, Joe, you shouldn't not wear your hard hat at work. I don't know, like, but I'm not in your face about it. You know, like, that part of it I don't get. Well, Rempe shouldn't do this. He shouldn't. Who the fuck do you know? You're an accountant. You know what I mean? Even I'm not saying that I, just because I played hockey, I have the, I'm the same way. I love watching it. If someone asks me, I can tell you the aspects I think he can maybe do a little bit better. He's 6'8", maybe use your reach a little bit more and stuff. But it's his job, it's his life, and he's doing a fucking wicked job at it. And if he wants to get hit, well, he'll, I mean, get punched in the nose enough by guys like Ryan Reeves and you'll figure it out.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets, only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
I remember that in junior going in, and my first game in the WHL, I fought fucking Cale Hulse. Look that name up. Big, tough lefty. Yeah, he kicked the shit out of me. I didn't go down, though. And when the refs came in, I popped him twice in the eye. Right? Got some respect out of that. But I knew, okay, these guys are a little bigger. I was coming from Quesnel. I had some fights down there. But it's one thing in junior A and then the dub, right? And you're like, whoo, now it's like Brendan Witt, I think, was like third fight. It was, you know, and then there was some guys like Belak over the years. But like, I remember getting popped in the head and going, okay, seeing stars the first time, second time getting a broken nose, busted my nose. I don't remember my nose bleeding ever after that first time. And what the fuck was that? I don't remember. It was someone on Spokane. I think maybe Jay Birch, a big right-hand shot forward, that two-way player that had fucking Speary if he had to. He was a big guy, and I remember, yeah, he busted my nose. But like, in other words, like I like throwing, but there's a way to kind of learn to, you know, there's a way to learn. Watch Darren Langdon's fights. The guy takes and gives a lot of punches, but it's the punches that you're taking and giving, right? I'm not saying I never got cut. I never, of course I did. And I fought very recklessly, and I left myself out there just like Rempe did, just like he did, a lot. I'm not going to say work for me, but I mean, I don't know. Like, I didn't mind that style. A punch never knocked me out ever. I know in my book, Ryan Vandenbush, it might knock me down. I might like for a second get knocked out like a boxer, but no post concussion. All of that happened from open ice hits or open ice hits accidentally, open ice collisions. I had four major ones. One was real, real, real major. And that was in 96, 97. And you can check that out. I believe the YouTube handle is Terry Ryan gets hit and Byron Briskey and Damon Lankow respond. And that was my first Kevin Pop. Boy, did he put me out, man. That was the one I missed almost a year. But anyway, all mine were hits. A punch, even though I saw stars lots, it never really knocked me out. I don't know if that has something to do with G-force. Obviously, is that what it's called, G-force? If I'm skating with the puck with my head down, and Wade Belak, one of them actually was Brendan Witt. If I'm skating through the middle and he's coming at me, A, it's my fault for having my head down. But B, that always, to me, rocked my world more than any punch. And I took punches from people that you don't want to take punches from Ty Domi to fucking Ryan Vandenbush to Trevor Gillies, Frank Bialowis, you know, and I figured my body out. Some people, I remember talking to some teammates that are like, fuck T-Bone, I get pop, man, and I just see stars right away. Well, it's not for you. Davey, it's not for you, right? I learned my body. I learned I could take a punch. And if Matt Rempe has learned the same, whatever. It's his life. Like, that's the one thing. Like, I shouldn't be fighting. That's where I draw the line. He can do whatever the fuck he wants to do. And right now, he's making hundreds of thousands more than he was in the minors just a few weeks ago. He's making 10 times the money. So hats off to him. And if he wants to do it, he can do whatever. I wish him good luck. Right? But I mean, I don't hear it the other way around. I don't hear like Johnny Dugros shouldn't skate through the middle with his head down. You know, what are you looking out for? What are we all, parents here? I don't know. I'll say if he skates through, like someone's going to fucking hit him at some point. But like, oh, Johnny shouldn't do that. Patrick Kane shouldn't chew on his mouth guard. He's going to lose his teeth. Matthew Tkachuk, same thing. Shouldn't go to the net hard chewing on his mouth guard. He might lose his tooth. Matt Rempe shouldn't fight. Lyubushkin shouldn't go into corners the way he does. What are we all, the fucking worried about the well-being of every athlete out there? I mean, I generally hope no one gets hurt, but shouldn't, couldn't? Why are these words coming from random fans that have never put on skates before? From anybody, but you know, someone on Twitter, like, just look at the comments. These people don't even know what a fucking two-line pass is. They don't know international hockey from NHL. They don't know a fucking Leafs jersey from a Habs jersey. And they're on there just fucking shooting the shit about nothing just to be heard in mom's basement or whatever it is. That's where it starts. And then it catches on and it becomes like this conversation. Like, what's the word? Like a part of the zeitgeist, is it, or of the moment. And I love that it's popular, and I love what he's doing, and that he's, you know, the fact that fighting's not dead and there's an energy about it. The other thing I like is that all these people that are coming in now that are watching fighting for the first, because it didn't exist, man. There's hundreds this year. There's all kinds. I don't know, but it seems to me that fighting's on the rise. Now, whether you're again to that or not, I don't give a fuck. But what I know is that there is fighting. And when people are, if they're tuning in now to see it, they're seeing it done with respect. They're seeing, well, what about the kid on Columbus? Is it Oliver or Olivier? I forget, but whatever. The guy who like beat Rempe. Right? And then there was Delorier. I'm missing one. And then there was Reeves. And anyway, after all these fights, what do both parties say? Well, it was an honor, and he was a pretty good fighter. He's pretty good. What did Reeves say? I wish him luck. Guy's a big guy. I've never been in a fight like that. Wish him luck. Rempe, same thing. Glad to be in the league. It's pretty cool. Don't mind these black eyes. You know, there's no part of go fuck yourself or sour tastes or cracking a stick over the boards or fuck you or suspension or spitting out or none of that. It's two guys squaring off. Look at the Reeves fucking Rempe fight. Now, even if you don't like fighting in hockey, you can't tell me that that wasn't more respectful than any other altercation in any other sport. What if a fight breaks out in football? Well, it's chaos. Silly, you'd be punching a helmet, but it just turns into chaos and a brawl of sorts, which no punch is thrown. Baseball, those are scary. Those are scary. I probably should have asked Josh Reddick more about that when I had him on. Often, not a lot of actual fights, but some of those bench clearers, you know, and there's sucker punches, and it's anybody on anybody, but there's no, like, respect to two guys to square off, and that's part of that sport, fine. I'm not complaining. I don't care if I see fighting in baseball. It's cool once in a while, but I'm not watching for that reason, like people watch hockey sometimes. Basketball, I don't know. Go back and do your fucking homework. There's as many sucker punches. Basketball, I'm not saying isn't tough, but when it comes to fighting, it's not part of the sport. People jump in right away like they should. But in hockey, you can call it, we're on skates. You can call it, it's part of the history or whatever you want. It's so physical with no out of bounds that things are going to happen. You got a weapon in your hand. Tensions are high. Whatever you want to put into the formula that makes hockey a sport that I won't even say allows fighting because it is a penalty, right? Even if you put a 5-minute penalty for fighting in baseball, there still would be no more or less, right? It's a penalty. And I mean, I think it's just not part of the sport. When people say, well, they allow hockey and fighting in hockey, well, they don't because it's a penalty. So what we're talking about is how much it's penalized, right? So there isn't fighting allowed in hockey, first of all. Now, it's a sport where the penalties allow for it to happen more than it does in other sports. But again, look at that fight. Everybody in the building, look at any of the sports shows, fucking Overdrive, Born in Kyprios, or like in and around Toronto, Ken Reed, Satellite Network, whatever it is around Toronto and the Toronto Maple Leafs, because of this game, I mean, and maybe by the same comparison, the Rangers, but I didn't watch the New York feeds. But when I was watching Toronto, everybody was talking about that. And when I heard Kyprios talking about it the other day, he said, I got to the rink and it was just nothing but talk about that fight, right? Hayes, O-Dog, Jamie McLennan, they all said the same thing, right? And when it finally happened, it was done respectfully and there was a reason for it. When Rempe, otherwise it just would have been a fight. But when Rempe hit Lyubushkin, there was a reason for it and it was time to pay the piper and he did in a respectful way. Everybody stood up. The energy of the building went to a fucking 10 out of fucking 8 and everybody, and you know, the Leafs ended up winning in overtime, but that's kind of secondary. I mean, really, just to my, it's not secondary. It's secondary to this conversation. But, you know, so people went home happy. Nobody was hurt. And a couple of fucking adults fought each other. So I don't know why this, you know, all of a sudden everybody's just worried about well-being. And all you guys go watch football and don't give a fuck. And all they're doing is hitting each other. There's no fighting there, but there's more concussions than, you know, I don't know more, but there's a lot of concussions in football. And I rarely hear someone say, oh, he should look out when, like, I don't know, a running back goes on a fucking tear or a wide receiver catches the ball and has 40 yards to go for a touchdown and is running all he can. There's fucking people looking to take him out, and sometimes they do. I rarely hear fans of the sport really care about the player's well-being. And in hockey, there's so many other, like, I'm about to have Roenick on. He lost his teeth, man. Kevin Smith, my friend, Ryan Smith's brother, got a puck in the eye and lost his eye. Brian Barrera got a stick in the eye. I never hear people talking about this. Nor, I don't give a fuck either. I knew every game I went out there, something might happen. I'm playing a physical sport. I'm not going to blame the sport or hope that all the fans are worried about my slash I got on the back of my leg. I don't know. You're watching. Now, I don't mean to say that I'm completely fucking, unremorseful or you know, if I was to lay out a hit and hurt somebody, or which rarely happened, I wasn't a great hitter, and I didn't try to hit people on the train tracks for that reason. I know what it feels like. But if it's playoffs, and, you know, sometimes things happen, I'm not going to say that I want to see people get injured. But just let this play out, you know? Rempe's going to learn one way or the other. It's survival of the fittest, and whoever can adapt the best will be there for the long haul. If he can adapt as a player, as a fighter, and as a teammate, he'll be in the NHL. And of course, he probably won't fight this much. But newsflash, 3 fights in 6 games isn't a lot. I mean, it is, but it's not. Right? If you keep going at that pace, ask Matthew Barnaby. I mean, I don't know. 1 year in the A, I had 34 fights. What did I play? 70 games. It's the same pace. I'm not looking for a hero cookie. Matt Barnaby, I think, told me he had 45 1 year in junior or something. I figured it out. I'm sure he didn't keep squaring off with guys like Zdeno Chara and taking bombs in the head. He adapted. He adapted as a player. Barnaby became a fucking good NHLer. Darcy Tucker evolved as a player. He adapted. Matt Rempe, I believe, will adapt. But I'm not really worried about him in that sense. I'm worried about nobody. It's a free world. Go out and do what the fuck you want to do. Hopefully you don't get injured. If you do, that's the price of admission. That's the price that you pay for getting paid so much money to do a job in front of so many people and wear that Rangers or Habs or Leafs jersey or whatever it is that you're putting it on. Oilers, Sharks, fucking Panthers, whatever. You're putting on an NHL jersey, it's a real honor to do it. And if I'm fucking 18 again or 19 or 20 or whatever, and you told me to go out there and fight Ryan Reeves or block a shot from Drew Doughty or who won the shot this year or whoever, you know what I'm saying? Who does have the hardest shot in the NHL now? I forget who won the, anyway, it's irrelevant to what I'm trying to say. I love the sport for this reason too, right? Like, it allows for these kind of conversations. I know that not everybody, and who knows if I'm right or wrong ever on any of these topics. But what I do know is that I'd suggest, if you're looking at this situation and criticizing Rempe, that you just break it down and think of comparables and think of him being early 20s and getting a chance to play for the Rangers. And think of him being 6'8". And where he's coming from. Now, I had that spunk, and I'm just over 6 feet. He's 6'8", so he's got 8 inches on me. So if I was looking at someone 5'4", a bunch of them that were all challenging me, that'd play into the equation too, right? It would have to. So, I mean, I'm not saying I hope the guy gets hurt. I'm beating a dead horse now, but I'm happy for the kid. I'm entertained. I hope he doesn't get hurt, but it's his decision. And I love watching it play out, because that is what sports are there for. It's not all about always your favorite team winning the Stanley Cup or the Super Bowl or whatever. That's part of it. But there's hundreds of more games in a season, right? Right? You're a hockey fan. You're a hockey fan. If you're a strict team fan and don't really follow much else, fine. It's not really even a topic that you'd care about. But just my 2 cents on the Rempe situation. I have a question, too, before I go here. Not a question. I don't know who can answer this. I took a lot of history courses. I have a folklore degree, which goes hand in hand with history. I'm getting to the point here. And I watch a lot of movies. And Alexander the Great was on my mind because I just watched the Netflix docuseries, right? 6 episodes. Pretty entertaining, too. But they go in to the mountains of Persia. And I believe it's Darius III that is the king of Persia. And Alexander the Great, of course, was from Macedonia, which was way, way smaller, tiny in comparison. And Alexander ended up taking over Egypt, Persia, all of it. Alexander and the Macedonians. And, you know, he's a big-time historical figure. But outside of all that, before the last battle against Darius, and I mean, if you look at a map, I mean, it's fucking massive. Egypt, and by extension, everything around it. Persia. And they're like, well, he went that way, right? Ah, he's got like a 7-day head start. And they always track him down, like in the movies, like in the Wild Westerns and stuff, right? Wyatt Earp is like, hey, Wyatt, Billy the Kid's gone that way. Okay, he's got 2 days. Grab old Davy. We gonna go track him down. I'm like, how the fuck are you gonna track him down? You're looking at a mountain range. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't be certain that if, I don't know, my buddy Sparky is over to the house for beers and he comes out of, and he says, I'm gonna go to the store. I gotta get some more beers or fucking food or whatever. And there's one store this way, another store that way, and one straight down the street. How do I know which one he went to? And if I take the wrong turn, then he's gone forever. Yet, these people in like Yellowstone and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Tombstone, Alexander, I mean, it's just 1,000 examples. And it's, I mean, based on history, a lot of these things, so it must have happened, right? I could see if it's Harry Potter and he's on his magic broom or whatever the fuck he flies around on. Just don't understand it, how maybe there's a historian or a tracker or someone out there that can explain to me how you could be in Denver, Colorado in 1870 and look at the mountain range and go, oh, he went towards California. Well, we'll track him down in 2 days. If you're like 2 degrees off from your first two steps, you're going to miss him. Right? I don't, you're looking at a fucking mountain range with lakes and rivers, and you could just, again, if I'm in Mount Pearl or St. John's, I might go years and not be able to find you. And yet, people, Lewis and Clark could be in like St. Louis, and well, our buddy Sean, he's gone towards Cali, Bakersfield, I hear. And they don't know where the fuck it is. They don't know anything. And they just make their way out west, and eventually everybody meets up. I've never understood it. I'm watching that Alexander thing just hit home to me. I'm like, how in the fuck? You know what I think? I think maybe that people were like exceptional trackers, and we never hear about them in these documentaries, in these movies, or whatever. They must have, like, there must have been, you hear about the king and the king's men and the consul and the philosopher kings and sometimes even the court jester and the queen and the prince and all these people. But the trackers must have been out of this world. Out of this fucking world. Right? Yeah, Bobby's gone. Where's he gone, Joe? Is he just gone down to get some tobacco at the store? No, he's gone towards Wyoming. Okay. I'm sure I'll find him. I'm sure I'll bump into him. Anyway, I never understood it. And, yeah. Let's see. Okay, so I'm going to be in Brooks, Alberta for the next 3 days. That being Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm coming home, I think, Saturday night. And then next week, I'll be in Sun Valley, Idaho. Anyway, if you're listening to this and you're in the area, and I know there's a lot of you, in the area, meaning like Brooks, as I recall, I could just look at a map. I think it's between Calgary and Medicine Hat. Let's see now. Yeah, it is. So if you're in Alberta, basically Southern Alberta, and we're raising some money for the Brooks Bombers baseball team. And, you know, I'm going to be around, so I'm going to be shooting the shit with listeners, fans of the show, fans of Shorzy, fans of the Brooks Bombers, whatever it would be. We're going to tell some sports stories, and it should be a bit of a laugh. So I encourage you to come by if you're in the area. Take out your wallet. You know, it's there's going to be lots of stuff there to buy. There's going to be some silent auction items, and even if it's just $5 for a raffle ticket or something, or 50-50, it's money well spent, and it'll go to a good cause. So, and I'm excited to get back to Alberta. I really love it out west, and soon enough I'll be in Edmonton. I know a lot of you listeners are Gregor listeners from Edmonton. I'll be out that way soon. Anyway, so hope to catch up with you guys out in Calgary or Sun Valley, or the next week I'm in Chicago. Just stay tuned to my Instagram. I'm probably going to be somewhere near you in the next couple of months, because it goes on and on like that until at least mid-June. And really looking forward to JR. So this is 195A, is it? 195B should be a real hoot. So stay tuned for that. Anyway, time for me to take off. If you're downtown St. John's and you want to check out George Street, I'd look no further than Trinity Pub, TJ's Pub, Rob Roy Confusion, the Martini Bar, Greensleeves Pub, or the Bull and Barrel. Did I forget anywhere there? I don't think. Did I say TJ's? Anyway, those are the spots that I like to go, and I always have at least a beer at those spots before I move on. A, they're good buddies. B, they're my favorite bars. If I was going to go for a bite to eat, I would check out the new and improved Loose Tie. I'd also go to Merchant Tavern or Blue on Water, and if I was in the east end of St. John's, I'd go to Peter Wedgwood Cafe. They're also available for catering. Ryan Power Conditioning, strength and balance for the body and mind. Check it out. All ages, all shapes, all sizes, Ryan has something for you. Phenomenal at what he does. And shout out, Ryan, your proteges being Alex Newhook, and two of them anyway, being Alex Newhook and Maggie Connors, are really starting to come in their own as pro hockey players. And, well, Alex came into his own, you know, when he won the Stanley Cup, but you know what I'm saying. He was injured for part of this year, and he's coming back. He looks pretty good now in a Habs uni. And Maggie Connors is really fitting in. You know, I know she was a little bit nervous coming into the year, but she plays for Toronto in the PWHL, and I watch every game, and she's playing some well. I'm really proud of her. She's really, really a good pro, and the future looks nothing but bright for Maggie. If you want to go to Mr. Lube and you're in the area, Live Laugh Lube, go to Kmart Road and Torbay Road. There's two locations. And like I said, Live Laugh Lube. Pitbull Pain Relief, the pain sticks that just don't quit. Go to pitbullpainrelief.com and see what all the fuss is about. And of course, True Hockey, take what's yours. Thanks to everybody at True for the awesome gear that I received lately. And that winter coat, Corey Gregory, is one of my favorites. Thanks for rescuing me. I got back from Orlando, missed a flight, and had to spend 3 days in Brockville without a change of clothes. The locals in Brockville and my good friends at True Hockey really helped out. So thanks to all you guys. Folks, I'll be back in just a few days. Well, in just one day, I guess, with Jeremy Roenick, NHL fucking legend. And usually has a lot to say. Let's hope he saves some good stories for this show. Thanks for tuning in. Love you guys, and I'll catch you on the rebound.